Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Tes Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, 15 lines from the top. We have learned the Machlokes of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel regarding a Tzaras Erva. Beis Shammai says that a Tzaras Erva is required to have Yibum or Chalitza. Beis Hillel exempts such a woman from Yibum or Chalitza. And then we had a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Did Beis Shammai actually follow their opinion? Also Beis Shammai kedivrayim, or loy also Beis Shammai kedivrayim? Did they not follow their opinion? So the Gemara again tries to prove that whether Beis Shammai did or did not follow their opinion. Tashma, Shalos Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was asked, Tzaras Abbas Mahu. What is the status of a Tzaras Abbas? What is the status of a Tzaras Erva? Does she or does she not require Yibum Chalitza? Amlehem, so responded, Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. It's Machlekes, as we just said, of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So they asked, V'halacha k'tivrei mi? Like, who is the halacha? Amlehem, so responded, M'bnei ma'ata machnisim roshi ben shnei harim gedolim. Why do you put my head between two great mountains? Ben shnei machlekes gedolis, two big groups, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. And the Ben Yehuda explains, why is this machlokes referred to as Horim Gedolim, great mountains? So one pshat, the simple pshat is, because Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were great people. Another pshat is, as we've been learning, this machlokes affects the yichus, the purity of the yichus of Klal Yisrael, which, as we've been saying, is of such great importance, and that's why he considered it Horim Gedolim. Continued Rabbi Yeshua in saying, Mesyari ani, I'm concerned, Shem Yerutzu Gagolti, that if I rule in favor of Beis Hillel, this is the way Mashal explains the Gemara, which it's more likely that he's going to rule in favor of Beis Hillel, because the Halacha is always like Beis Hillel, I'm concerned that Beis Shammai will crush my head. Avani meir lachem, I could say testimony, ashtei mishpachas gedolos shehayu b'Yerushalayim, on two great families, big families that were in Yerushalayim, mishpachas beis tzvoi mibein achmoi, or mishpachas beis kfoi mibein mekoshish, shehem nevi tzoros, they are descendants of tzoros, or mehem kohanim gedolim, from there were kohanim gedolim, from them emanated kohanim gedolim, so we see how far that they paskin like Beis Hillel, that a Tzaras Erva is entirely exempt from Yibum and Chalitza, and therefore these families whose grandmother, great grandmother was such a woman who was a Tzaras Erva, she got married without Yibum and Chalitza Lashuk to someone else, and her descendants were Kohanim Gedolim. So now the Gemara analyzes what Rabbi Yeshua says and attempts to prove from it what Beis Shammai's actions were. Says the Gemara, Iyam Bishlama Asu, if we say that Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion, Hainu the Kama Mesyarayni, we could understand why Rabbi Yeshua was concerned to say something like this, because Beis Shammai would be very upset. Eli Amrit Lo Asu, if we're going to say that Beis Shammai anyway did not follow their opinion, Amai Kamar Misyareni, why was he concerned? If Beis Shammai is also following the opinion of Beis Hillel, so there's no concern. This continues the Gemara. V'nei nami de'osu. And let us say, so it must be, so it must be that Beis Shammai is following their own opinion, and that's why Rabbi Yeshua was concerned to explicitly say that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara, V'nei nami da'asi, even it will say that Beis Shammai does follow their opinion. My Mesyariani, why was he concerned? Harm Rabbi Yeshua, even Rabbi Yeshua will hold, a mamzer el mechayvim mises bezdin. The only time we have a mamzer created, according to Yeshua, when the woman who lived with the man is not a chiv karis, as we've been learning till now, but chiv Maces Bezdin. So, even if Beis Shammai did allow Yivam with a co-wife of an Erva, and thus such acts would have taken place, and Rabbi Shua ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, who says that this is a problem of a Chiyuv Karis, he still wouldn't be making anyone a Mamzer. To repeat, because according to Rabbi Shua, the only person that would be a Mamzer if his parents were also to each other with a Chiyuv Mises Bezdin. If this woman, according to Beis Hillel, is not supposed to have relations with her brother-in-law, because she's not considered a Yavama, but did have relations because they followed Beis Shammai's Pesach, it still would not be a Mamzer, because a brother-in-law and sister-in-law having relations is still only a Chiyuv Karis, which according to Rabbi Yeshua does not create a Mamzer. So no Mamzerim would have been created. So if Rabbi Yeshua's remarks that seem to indicate that there would have been Mamzerim, and that's why he was concerned, why would there be Mamzerim? When would there be Mamzerim? Answers the Gemara, Neh nami de Mamzer lehava. Yes, Rabbi Yeshua will hold that a child born from such a union is not a Mamzer. However, pogamia hava, he's still disqualified from the kahuna. Why? Because we'll make a kavachayim for amona. Ma amona. The halacha is that amona, a widow, may not marry a kohen gadol. And the halacha is sheini surah noy bekol. This is a specific halacha that only applies to kohanim, gedolim, not to anyone else. Yet the Torah says, regarding if a kohen gadol took an amona, layikach v'layichalel, that if such a marriage did take place, b'na pogam, zu shesura shabakol, a tsaris erva, which everyone is osur, certainly the child would be pogam. So that's why he was concerned about how Beis Shammai would react, not because he was concerned that there could ever be a situation of mamzerim here, but there could be a situation of pogamhu. However, the Gemara makes an observation in trying to understand how Rabbi Shua responded to something that was asked of him. Rabbi Shua was asked about what is the status of tzaris. May they or may they not? Do they have a chiyuv yibam? Do they not have a chiyuv yibam? The pashat luhu, and what they responded to him was about b'nei tzaris, about the children of the tzaris. What about tzaris themselves? Wasn't that the question that he was asked? Says the Gemara Tartik by Menei. Rabbi Shua was asked two questions. The first question was, tzaris mai. What is the halacha regarding the tzaris? Are they eligible for Yibam or not like Beis Hillel? Bintim tzaloima. If we'll say tzaris ke Beis Hillel, that we hold like Beis Hillel, and they're not eligible for Yibam, but b'nei tzaris to Beis Hillel, the women according to Beis Hillel. So let's understand the Beis Shammai Mai. According to Beis Shammai, this woman, the Tzaris Erva, who according to Beis Shammai should have had Yibam Mechalitza, but followed the opinion of Beis Hillel and did not have Yibam or Chalitza. She just went and married Lashuk, somebody from the street. What will be the halacha? What will Beis Shammai hold regarding those children? What is their status? Ask the Gemara, Lamai Nafkamina. Why do we need to know the answer to this question? We certainly follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. And according to Beis Hillel, this woman didn't do anything wrong. So why did they ask Rabbi Yeshua, what is the status of these children? It doesn't make a difference, Lahalocha. Answers the Gemara, correct. As far as the immediate Shaila that we have in front of us, a Tzoris Erva that got married without Chalitza, and certainly without Yibam, is that her children are fine. But according to Beis Shammai, this woman has violated an Issalav. And we're trying to use this as perhaps a model to understand what is the halacha and what is the status of any child that's born from Isalav? For example, says the Gemara, Lemishit Vlad Machzer Grushas LeBeisilu. Beisilu will certainly agree, as we have learned earlier, that if one divorces his wife and she remarries someone else, the first husband may no longer take her back. What will be the halacha if one did take back his wife under such circumstances and they had a child? Taking back such a wife is a chiyuv lav. And the Gemara wants to know what will be the status of that child. Mi aminin kavachaymer? Do we say kavachaymer from the case of Amonel Kohen Gadol, where there, as we just said, Eini Surah Shav B'Kol, it's only an Amona, and a widow is only an Issa to a Kohen Gadol. Yet, as we said, we quoted the Psukim, the Torah says, B'na Pogam, her child is a Pogam. Zu, this woman, she's Surah Shav B'Kol, that is also to everyone. The Halacha of Machz Grushasai applies to every Jew. Ein Adin, she B'na Pogam. Certainly, the child of such a union should be pogam. Idoma, or on the other hand, ikla mifrach. One could ask, mala mona shi atzma mischalelus. The Torah says, as we said, lo yikach v'lo yichalel. The Torah uses the word yichalel, that both the amona and her child become mukhulelus. However, by the case of a grusha, she doesn't become a chalolo. Why doesn't she become a chalala? As Rashi explains, because she's anyway prohibited to the Kayin. For every grusha is prohibited to every Kayin. So we didn't need this union to make her also to a Kayin. So since she's also to a Kayin anyway, and moreover, Rashi says, the halacha of a chalala is that a chalala may not marry a Kayin, which this woman, this grusha, anyway, as we just said, may not marry a kohen. But there's another halacha regarding a chalala. Normally, the halacha is if a woman is the daughter of a kohen, if she gets married to Yisrael, she may not eat truma. When a husband divorces or dies, she doesn't have children, she could continue. This woman, the amana kohen gadol, even if she'll divorce, or separate, or her husband, the Kohen Gadol, will die without children, she still may no longer eat truma even if she's the daughter of a Kohen. That halacha, however, will not apply to a machzer grushasai. If there's a woman who's the daughter of a Kohen, who went through this whole story, she got married to a Kohen, divorced him, got divorced, and then can't marry the Kohen again, whether she did or didn't get remarried, she will be allowed to eat truma when she's single. So she doesn't have all of the halachas of a chalala. Similarly, her children are not considered chalolim. So what the Gemara is saying now is, an amana l'kohen gadol's children are chalolim. A machzer grushasai's children, however, are not chalolim. But we learned earlier that even according to Rabbi Yeshua, that the children of B'nei Chai V'Krisis, that if the parents were also to each other with a Chiyuv Karis on that Mamzerim according to Rabbi Yeshua, they will be Chalolim. And the Rishonim ask, didn't we just say that we can't bring a Kal V'Chomer from the Amana L'Kohen Gadol? So just like the Gemara here refuted the Kal V'Chomer that it attempted to say from Amana L'Kohen Gadol to Machzer Grushasai, why doesn't the Gemara attempt to refute the Kavachaymer it said earlier from Amana L'Kohen Gadol to B'nei Chai V'Krisis? So the Rishonim answer, Chai V'Krisis are certainly a lot more usher than Amana L'Kohen Gadol. This is Chai V'Krisis, this is Chai V'Lavin. So Amana L'Kohen Gadol can serve as a source to teach us that according to Yeshua, Chai V'Krisis children are usher Apigumim. On the other hand, Machzer Grushasai and Amana L'Kohen Gadol are both only Chai V'Lavim, and as the Gemara has just now successfully proven a distinction between them, therefore perhaps only by Amana L'Kohen Gadol the children are Chalolim, not by Machzer Grushasai, which is actually the Halacha. A step further, the Rishonim discuss, when we say that the children are pegumim, what does that mean? So certainly everyone agrees that a daughter born from such a marriage is considered a chalala who may not marry a kohen. There is, however, a machlokes Rishonim, what will be the status of a son born from such a marriage? Will his daughters, that means the granddaughters, the son's daughters, will they also be disqualified from marrying Kohanim, or will that not be the extent that Chalola goes on to? Tosfos asks, and this serves a good review for something that we learned earlier in the Masechta. When we learned the Gemara and the Psukim about Machzor Rishosai, the Pasuk said he to'eva, and we learned he to'eva, that only she is affected, vein bo neho to'evim. If one takes back his Machzor Rishosai, it doesn't have an effect on the children's halachic status. Ask Tosfos, why do we need that Rasha? Al Gemara just showed us that the Kavachoymer from Manal Kain Godel is not an effective Kavachoymer, and obviously it doesn't affect our children. So why do we need that Rasha? So Tosfos answers, as we also learned, that the Torah, when speaking about the Machzor Rishosai, uses the word Tumah. So I would think, says Tosfos, that even though the Kavachoymer from Manal Kain Godel is not a valid Kavachoymer, perhaps, since the Torah used the word Tumah regarding a Machzor Rishosai, that's why her children should be considered Pegumim. Therefore, says the Pasuk, he to'eva, v'ein b'nah to'evim, even though there's the word Tumah, it doesn't affect the children. So now, as we just learned, Rabbi Shua was asked two questions. One was about the Tzara herself, and one was about her children. V'amuhu, and Rabbi Shua said to him, Tzara Mesyareni, I don't want to answer about the Tzaras, because I'm afraid to rule in favor of Beis Hillel, because the children of anyone who followed Beis Shammai's position previously, that means people who followed Beis Shammai's position and did say that Tzaras Erva are candidates for Yibam, and did have Yibam, turns out that according to Beis Hillel, the B'nai Chai V'Krisis. And as we just said, even if they're not Mamzerim, they're certainly Pegumim. And that's why he didn't want to say anything about the Tzara himself. B'nai Tzaras, regarding the descendants, Ani Me'ilachem, I could tell you about these two families who remarried without Chalitza, the Tzaras ever remarried without Chalitza, and from them came out Kohanim Gedolim. So Masha asks, if Rabbi Yeshua was worried about what Beis Shammai is going to say, so how did he announce that according to Beis Shammai, these women should have at least had Chalitza, and they didn't, and yet their grandchildren served as Kohanim Gedolim, why wasn't he worried about what Beis Shammai is going to say? So Masha says, Rabbi Yeshua's statement should be divided into two. The first part of his statement of Ani Mesyorei, I'm scared to make a public statement, he said quietly. The second part of his statement, he said publicly. The second part of his statement that he said, but I want you to know that I really hold like Beis Hillel, and that the grandchildren of such people, of Tzaras Erva, who didn't have not Yivim or Chalitza, served as Kohanim Gedolim, that he said quietly only to his Talmidim, that they should be aware. The Mefarshim ask that why did Rabbi Yeshua have to go so far as to say that the descendants served as Kohanim Gedolim? And if he could have said that they served as Kohanim, wouldn't that be enough of a proof that the Tzaras Erva, who got married Lashuk without Yibam Achalitza, was perfectly fine? So I saw interesting terrors from the Sefer Arz of the Bei Rav. The Halacha, he says, is if a Kohen who's a Cholol, who's not supposed to do the Avodah, is already in the middle of doing the Avodah, we do not interrupt him. On the other hand, he says, if a Kohen Gadol is in the middle of doing the Avodah Yom Kippur, and he's a cholol, he's disqualified. In the middle of the avoda, we stop him. So that's how Rabbi Shua was trying to prove that what these women did was completely acceptable. Because if he would have just said that their descendants were kohanim, Beis Shammai could have argued they're not really kohanim, they're really chalolim. Why do we let them do the avoda? Because we don't interrupt someone in the middle of the avoda. But by saying that they were kohanim gedolim, that's a powerful proof that what they did was perfectly fine, and that's why their descendants could serve as kohanim gedolim. So from here also we have a proof that Beis Shammai followed his own opinion. And now the Gemara brings a final proof that the Beis Shammai followed their opinion, because Toshma, the mayor of Deutschman Herkonis, Hutrut Tsaras Abbas Lachim, the Tsaras Erva was allowed to marry a Yavam, Shmamina also, must be that he followed, as we'll see soon more in the Gemara, that he followed the opinion of Beis Shammai, Shmamina, for here we have conclusive proof that Beis Shammai continued following their opinion, even though the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Gufa. So the Gemara discusses this situation. The mayor of Deutsch ben Hurkonas, he tur tsaras abas l'achim. They allowed a tsaras erva to have yibam. Vayadava kosh l'chomim. The chomim were very upset about this. Vneisha chochim gol hoya. Rav Deutsch was a great talmud chochim. The ainu of chomim malava beis medrash. He had his eyes, he became somewhat blind or hard of seeing, and therefore he stopped coming to beis medrash. Omru. So they spoke amongst themselves, Miyelech v'yidiyu, who's going to notify Reb Doisa that we disagree with him? Amlem, Rabbi Shua. So Rabbi Shua said, Ani Eilech, I'll go. V'achrami, who else will go after Rabbi Shua? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. V'achrami, and who followed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Rabbi Kiva. So the Mefarshim explained that why did they have that order? So they say Rabbi Shua was the oldest, and also, as we will see soon, was known to Reb Doisa. So he went first. Reb Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, so he went next. And Reb Kiva was the Gadol HaDor, was the great Talmud Chacham, wasn't known to Reb Doisa, and therefore he went last. The Ben Yehuda also discusses why did they have this conversation, who will go first, who will go second, who will go third. So he explains that these three great Talmid Chachamim did not walk in the street together to go to Reb Doisa's home. For he says if everybody would see these three Talmid Chachamim walking in the street together, it would cause certainly a great commotion. Where are they going? And it would bring them to discuss the halach of Tzaras Erva. They weren't looking for this to become a discussion. If anything, they wanted that this should not be a topic of discussion. They wanted everybody to accept the psak of Beis Hillel. Therefore, they walked to his home separately, agreed to meet at Reb Doisa's home at a certain time, and then discussed before and already, when we get to Reb Doisa's home, how will we walk in? And they said, Reb Shua first, Reb Elazar ben Azariah second, then Reb Kiva. So they come to his home. Reb Doisa's main and tells him, Rebbe Chachmi Yisrael bon Hatzlacha, the great Chacham of the generation have come to visit you. So let them come in. V'nichnasu. Tavsel Reb Yeshua, he took hold of Reb Yeshua, v'shiva amita shazav, and he put him down on a golden couch. Reb Yeshua tells Reb Doisa, Rebbe emela talmidcha achav yeshev, tell your other Talmud that he may sit down. Amlai mihu. So he asked, who is this Talmud? Says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Amalai, v'yeshle ben Azariah chavreinu. Does Azariah, our friend, have such a child? Karvlov amikra azeh, nara isi v'gam zakanti, v'lar isi tzadik nezov, v'zar mavakash lochem. I got old and I'm happy to see that my colleague Azariah has such a great son, that he's the Nasi, tosav ha'yeshiva amita shazov. So Mefarshim asked, what was such a great chiddush, something of such news to Reb Doisa, that Reb Elazar ben Azariah, that Azariah had a son? People, Baruch Hashem, generally have children. What was he so impressed with? So he explains, the Ben Yoyada explains, a beautiful pshat. He says that if a child follows in the path of his fathers, of his forefathers, of his father, who teach him Torah and mitzvahs. And he already at a young age follows that derech, then even though the child is still a young person, he is considered like he has come to old age. Because the age of his forefathers is a combined to him and added to his years, as if he's already an older man. Rabbi Deitzer was saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I see that you're following the path of your father, Rabbi Azariah. If you're following the path of your father, Rabbi Azariah, even though Nar Hayisi, even though you're still young, the Gam Zokanti, you could be considered like an older person, because all of the age and all of the wisdom that your father accumulated is credited to you. And with that he explains two very nice things. He says, the Pasuk says, Kabbalah Savich Vasimecha, Laman Yerich and Yomecha. The first of all, the Torah normally doesn't tell us what is the reward for a mitzvah, and to be so specific, what exactly the reward is, says the Ben Yoyada, what the Pasuk is telling us is, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Kabbalah Savich Vasimecha, if one follows and does what his parents teach him, Leman Yarichin Yomecha, even when you're a young man, you will be Yarichin Yomecha, you'll be considered like you're an older person, you will have credit of all those days to your life. And that pshat, what we say in the Haggadah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Arei ani kevem shivim shana, even though we know Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah at that time was really only 18 years old, but Arei ani kevem shivim shana, because I followed the drachim, I followed the ways of my parents, even when I'm 18 years old, Arei ani kevem shivim shana, all of my parents' years are added to my years, as if I've experienced all of that. And Tosva Shiva and Mitzvah Shazav, they put him in a golden couch. Amalei Rebbe, Amalei Talmud Chachav Yeshev. Tell your other Talmud to sit. Amalei Mihu, who is this? Akiva ben Yosef. So Yeshuva said, this is Akiva ben Yosef. Amalei Atu Akiva ben Yosef. Shavshimcha Hoylech Mesayf Oilem Vetsayfai. You're world famous. Kamoyscha Yibav Yisrael. May there be many people like you in Klai Yisrael. Hischil. So there's an interesting Shaila again that the Ben Yoyada asks. He says that by Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah it says, Tafsu v'shiva mita shazov, that they put him on, they asked him to sit on a golden couch. Not by Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, it said, he says, Shevani Shev, sit down. And interesting, the Ragachava says that the word Shev could either mean sit or means the number seven. And he says, we find in Shas that the Gemara uses this wording, Shevani Shev, seven times. So he says, why didn't he have the same wording to Rabbi Kiva as he did with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Yeshua, how to sit down? So he explains that Rabbi Daisu was sitting on a golden couch. On the couch there was room for three people. When he saw Rabbi Yeshua, he told him, sit down next to me on the golden couch. Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to, out of honor. So Tafsai, he grabbed him and put him down next to him. Again, the same thing with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says, sit next to me on this golden couch. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah declines. So he grabs him, tufts him, and he puts him down. When it came to Rabbi Kiva, there was no room on the couch anymore anyway, because there were all three seats taken. He said, Shevani Shev, sit in one of the other chairs here in the room. His chilum asavim moisav halacha. They began to discuss with him in halacha. And like the Mashah explains, they did not right away speak about the Shail of Tzaras Erva, which was the reason they came, because when one comes about a specific issue, you should not mention the reason, because they wanted to get an honest answer out of him. They didn't want him to feel intimidated. So Schilu Mesavim Mesav Halacha began to talk in Halacha. Achigil Tzaras Abbas, until they got to this issue of Tzaras Abbas. Amalei Tzaras Abbas Mahu, what is the Halacha regarding a Tzaras Abbas? Amalei Machloikis Beisham Beisil. It's Machloikis Beisham Beisil, as we've been learning. So they asked him, Halacha k'tiv remi, like, whom is the Halacha? Amalei, so he responded, Halacha k'tiv remi, the Halacha k'tiv remi. Amalei, v'aloi, m'shimcha amru, Halacha k'tiv remi. We're receiving reports that you say the Halacha is like k'tiv remi. Amalei, Doisa shematim, or ben herkona shematim. Who did you hear say it? Did you hear it said in the name of Doisa, or the name of ben herkona? Amalei, chai rebbe, we swear, stam shematim. We only heard the son of herkona. Amalei, so he told them, it wasn't me that said it. Ach katan yeshli, I have a younger brother, b'chor satan hu. So the number of pshatim. One pshat is Bechor. We know Bechor gets double. He's very smart, but Satan, he's like the Satan, he's difficult. Another pshat is that he comes from a place called Bechor Satan. That's where he lived. A third pshat that I saw is that the Gear says Bechor Shonun. He's a sharp one. V'yonison Shema, his name is Yonison. V'hum in Talmidei Shammai. He's from Talmidei Shammai. V'zharu shloi pakech eschem ba'alochas. Be careful not to get into a debate with him about the halacha. L'mfish yesh imoy shloi shmeis tshuvas b'tzaras abas shimitaris. He has 300 proofs that a tzaras abas is mutter. So Mepharshim explained the Gemara like this. So the natural thing is that if he has so much proof that tzaras abas is mutter, why is he telling them not to get a, why is he telling these chachamim not to get into discussion with them? If he has such proof, perhaps we should follow that halacha. So Reb Dois was telling them, "Avani meir alai shemayim v'aretz." I could say testimony. Shamaducha zeh Yosef Chagai Navi. Chagai Navi sat on this stone. V'om esholosh dvarim, and he said three things. And one of the things that he said was tzaras abas asura, that the tzaras abas is asur, and that's the halacha. So I don't think you should get into a debate with him, because if you'll get, and this is the way Mepharshim explained the Gemara, B'chanan explains the Gemara this way, if you'll get into a debate with him, he'll probably prevail. And if he'll prevail, you will have a dilemma. Because on one hand, we can't ignore what was said, and on the other hand, we have this Kabbalah from Chagai, that Tzaras Abas is Asur. So to show, so to just avoid a debate, because the halacha is that we try to follow the Messiah, and as Rabbi Chanan says, if he's right, why is there a different Messiah? Says Rabbi Chanan, as we explained in the previous year, because the Gemara said regarding Beis Shammai that they were mechudadim tfei, that they were very sharp, and therefore we before Mashiach cannot really fathom and understand what they say. That's why we don't get into a debate. You won't be able to answer, but we shouldn't follow Beis Shammai's psak. So he said that Chagai said three things. One thing he said was that the Tzaras Abas is also like Beis Hillel, the Tzaras Erva. Aman umayev ma'asrim ma'isa ani b'shvius. The halacha is, as we also just said in the previous year, the 7 years in Eretz Yisrael is a cycle. During year 1 and 2, ma'isa rishon and ma'isa sheni are given. During year 3, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Year 4 and 5 again is Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. Year 6 is Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. Year 7 is Shemitah. In the Shemitah year, nothing is given because we don't work and we don't work the ground. However, there were areas around Eretz Yisrael where Chazal did decree that they should give Matnas Kuna, Trumas, and Maaseris. Amon Amoyev being such an example, Mitzrayim was another example. So now the question was, since the Torah doesn't tell us which Maaser is given in the 7th year, because the Torah says the 7th year is Shemitah, because the Torah is speaking to Israel, Teretz Yisrael, so what type of Maaser should be given? So he says that they should give Maaser Ani. Even though, as the Rishonim point out, in Mitzrayim, in the year of Shemitah, Maaser Sheni was given, because they didn't there's never a precedent of 2 consecutive years of Maaser Ani being given. And Ammon Moav, which were, they did not have this tradition of Mitzrayim, I think Mar will discuss this more in Mitzvah Shem soon, they gave Maaser Ani, because since specifically it was a Shemitah year, and the people needed the produce available for the aniyim, they said, let's use that year to give Maaser Ani, not Maaser Sheni. There's a machloikas rishonim, exactly what does the Gemara mean here, when it which area does the Gemara mean here, when it says Amon Amoyev. Some say it means Eretz Sichon, that was captured in time of Moshe, which is where Amon Amoyev lived. Others say that plan, that area always remained part of Eretz Yisrael. That's what Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Tam. It's referring to other places where Ammon and Moav lived. Or Mekabum Gerim, the other thing that he said was, we take Gerim from Kerduim and Tamudim, from the place of Gerim, Kerduim and Tamudim, even though, and again, we're going to learn that they might have been Jews there, and the Jewish women might have lived with Goyim. And the Gemara at this point holds that a Goy who lives with a Jewish woman, the child is a Mamzer. And we don't want to bring Mamzerim into Klal Yisrael, still, they did not, they said we don't have to be concerned about this, and we could take women and marry into the people from Kaduim. We could take Gerim, we don't have to worry that they're Mamzerim for Kaduim and Talmud. And the Mefarshim point out, why did he say all three of these halachas? So the simple pshat is that he wanted to show how confident he was what he heard of Chagai, so he repeated the entire speech that Chagai HaNavi said. The Yun Yaakov says a different pshat. He says that the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that a Bezdin that's constantly Mekel is called Bezdin Materis and should be followed. Why are they always being Mekel? So he's saying that Chagai HaNavi certainly did not want to fall into that classification. If you'll say, Reb Dois was saying, that I'm not sure what Chagai said regarding Tzaras Erva, then it would turn that Chagai said three leniencies. One regarding the Meiser, one regarding the Gerim, and one regarding Tzaras Abbas. But that would put him into the classification of a Bezdin Materis. It must be that he held Tzaras Abbas is Osir, and he doesn't fall into the status of Bezdin Materis. Tana. Kshenichnasu, when they went in, Nichnasu B'Pesach Echad. They all went in through one door. Kshiyotsu, Yotsu B'Shloshi P'sachim, they all went out through three doors. So Taisha says, two Pshatim, why they went out through three doors. One is like Reb Dois had warned them not to meet up with Jonas and his brothers. So they didn't want to all meet him together to do as Reb Dois told them, don't meet my brother, because if you meet my brother, you'll have a problem with that debate. Another pshat Taisha says, which is actually the opposite pshat, Taisha says that they specifically wanted to meet him. So they went out through three different doors, that if one won't meet him, it's all likely that one of the three will meet him. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we said earlier, when they entered one after the other, because Reb Dois knew Reb Yeshua, then Reb Elazar ben Azariah was the Nasi, and then it was Reb Akiva. So they specifically entered in this order, but now that Reb Dois knew all of them, so they all wanted to give each other honor. So who's going to go out first, and who's going to go out second? So they all went out through different doors. They don't have a problem. Pogba Reb Akiva. Reb Akiva was the one that met Jonas. Actually, Va'ukmi. So Reb Akiva had a debate with Reb Yonason, and Reb Yonason prevailed. Amo ato kiva sheshimcha hoyle mesayfa olam vatsayfa olam, are you the one that has this great reputation? Azrecha shezachisa l'shem, you're lucky that you have this great reputation. He was trying to imply perhaps you don't deserve it. However, adayin lo yigat l'roi baka, you haven't raised up to the level of cattle herders. Amo Reb Akiva vafila l'roi tzoyin, he said, you're right, Reb Akiva was very modest. A roi tzoyin, a shepherd of sheep, is even less than a roi bakar, and he agreed, I'm a lower level. So he said that one of the things that he reported was, I'm a moy master maisa oni b'shvius. There were many cities that were captured by the Jews when they left Mitzrayim, but weren't captured when they came to Eretz Yisrael the second time. Kedusha was shown a kitchel shot. The halacha is that the first kedusha was only for that time. It did not stay for all future times. So these areas did not retain the kedusha. So therefore, the halachas, as we said before, shmita, do not apply to these areas. The nicham, and they left that shmita should not be applicable in these areas, and that they should give meiser a meiser ani from these areas during the Shemitah year, so the Anim can rely and have something to eat in the Shemitah year. Asked him, is this true? We do not accept Gerim for Kaduim. Arvashi Katuim Itmar. Rami Bayechaskel was speaking about Katuim, not Kaduim. Kedami Anshi, like people say, Katuim, those are the ones that are Psulim. I asked Tosfos, didn't he report from Chagai that they're fine? So he says that obviously they held their Chagai never spoke to the subject. Ikadamri, Tanar of Chaskal, Ema Kabun Kerim and Katuyim. We don't take Kerim from Katuyim. My love, Katuyim, Haina Kaduyim, they're the same. So, and Rav Dosa said that they do. Amar Vashi Loi, Kaduyim Lechud, Vekaduyim Lechud. This Katuyay, and which are not acceptable, and Kaduyi, which are acceptable. Kedamri and Shikatuyi, Pasli, the Kaduyi are considered unfit. Rav Yochanan was Savi Damit Avayu. Eim Akam Gerim Tamudim. We do not accept Gerim from Tamudim. Ask the Gemara, Miyam Rav Yochanan Halachi. For Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, Kolak Som Moim and Rekum Tarim. We know that the blood that emanates from a woman when she's a Nida is Tamei. Chazal made a gzera called ksamim. Ksamim means that if you find a stained garment that is dry, that the blood is dry, it makes a difference if it's a garment from a Jewish woman or a non-Jewish woman. Since this is only a tumah midrabbanan, Chazal only made this tumah by Jewish women and not by non-Jewish women. So if somebody finds a stained garment, kolak soma boim in a rekim, if they find a stained garment from rekim tahirim, because they're not Jewish, Rav Yehuda metama, Rav Yehuda says that they're tamei neshem gerim, because they're really Jewish, just for time, they made mistake, they don't realize that they're Jewish. But since they really are Jewish, they're ksamim atamei. Because the time of Nei Kachavim, Tahirim. However, if a stained garment is found from Avdi Kachavim, the halacha is Tahirim, that the garment is Tahar. Vavinimbo, and we try to understand this Mishnah. Kapasukutani, the Mishnah makes a statement, Bebeine Kachavim, if we find stained garment from where Goyim live, it's Tahar. Vafila, Mimatamud, even from the city of Tamud. That they are considered non-Jewish, not like we learned earlier from the, that we may not accept Gerim from Talmud because they're really Jewish. They're just Mamzerim because they were Jewish women who married Avodim and Goyim. V'chitema, if you'll say Zois, that stained garments that come from where non-Jewish live, Jews live, Atar, and that seems to indicate that Tarmoid people are not considered Jewish and therefore not considered Mamzerim. V'loyle Sfirle, but Rabbi Yochanan doesn't agree this. Rabbi Yochanan will not agree what the Mishnah says. Ask the Marav, Rabbi Yochanan, look at that Mishnah. We have a rule throughout Shas that Rabbi Yochanan always follows that Mishnah, so he can't disagree with what this Mishnah says. And says the Gemara, I'm Meroyim Nina Alibi Rav Yochanan. There's a Machloikis, I'm Meroyim what Rav Yochanan said. The Ma'ir, who said Rav Yochanan, saying that we cannot accept Gerim from Talmud, disagrees with the Ma'ir, who said Rav Yochanan, saying that we always follow a Stam Mishnah. But Talmud, my Tamaloi, and what's the reason we can't accept Gerim from Talmud? Pligabar Rav Yochanan and Sabya. Charam Mishum, Avdei Shleima. One says because of the servants of Shleima, which we'll explain in a moment, and the other say because of the daughters of Yerushalayim. Explains the Gemara. According to the Mandama of Avdei Shleima, these were servants of Shleima who were non-Jewish, but were very wealthy, and therefore were able to convince Jewish women to live with them. And they obviously hold to suffer, as we've been saying, Oiv Kachom Ve'Ever Abba Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. And therefore, these people lived in this place, they were Jewish Mamzerim, and therefore we don't want to take Gerim from them, because they're really not Gerim, they're really Mamzerim, and we don't want to bring Mamzerim into Klal Yisrael. El Amanda Omer Mishum Nais Yerushalayim, according to Amanda Omer, that's because of Nais Yerushalayim, what is the concern? Says the Gemara, what does this refer to? Says the Gemara, plagued by Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan. Tvai Mishmeh de Rabbi Babachana. Chanama Tresa Alpha Gafri. Vishita Alpha Kashtoi. There were 12,000 footmen and 6,000 archers. Vachanama Tresa Alpha Gavri. Menai Shita Alpha Kashtoi. A different version has 12,000 men, 6,000 of whom were archers. When the Goyim went into Beis HaMikdash, Hakol Nifnu Akes Vazov, everybody went to try to grab and loot the silver and gold. And they turned their attention to the Jewish girls. And they had relations with the Jewish girls. And we're learning that these were the mamzerim that we want to prevent from coming into Klal Yisrael. This pasuk was said by the Malach who controls the world. Man Emre. Who said it? Elam Kutch Bruchu. If we're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol said it, Meika Zikna Kamei, is there old age before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vel Dovra Amri. Could you suggest that David said it? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Mi Koshish Kulahai. The David was David that old. David only lived for 70 years. And we know to say, Naro Yisi Vigamza Kanti, Vilarisi Tzadik Nezov, to say such a strong statement, Vilarisi Tzadik Nezov, just because you only saw 70 years of the world, you're not a perfect witness. Ella, Shmamino Sara Oilam Amroy, the Sara Oilam said, the Naro Yisi Vigamza Kanti, Vilarisi Tzadik Nezov, and as the Maral explains, what he was saying is that yes, unfortunately, sometimes Tzadikim have to suffer. However, the Lairisi Tzadik Nezov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always stands and gives the Tzadik Tzati the Shmaya. Varma Shmuba Nachmeni Rami Yonason, Maidik Sev Yoda Paris Tzor Akol Machmedea. The enemy spread out his hand in all the treasures. Refers to Za'aman Amoyev. Bishar Shanichnos Oiv de Kacham Lehechel, Hakol Nifno Akes Vazov, everybody went to loot silver and gold. Vahem Nifno Asefer Torah, they went after the Sefer Torah, which is the Machmadeho, which is the real treasure of Klal Yisrael, Amru, because they said, Zesh Akashav Boy, this is the Sefer Torah that in it says, La Yovai Amoni Ma'av Kal Hashem, Yisar Pe'esh, they wanted to burn it, they wanted to show, they wanted Rahman Tzlan to humiliate the Sefer Torah. They knew that the Sefer Torah is the Machmad, the treasure of Klal Yisrael, and they were upset at it, and that's why they did what they did.